Genesis chapter 22, it is the event when Abraham went at God's direction and offered his son upon the altar for sacrifice. God is the one who asked Abraham to do this, and Abraham was willing. And I think that is what we will see as we go through this. And we will ask ourselves, what is it that we are willing to sacrifice? And what is it that it takes to have a sacrifice that's acceptable to God? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will read in God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you this evening that your Word never changes, that we can rely upon it, that it is steadfast, steady, it is unmovable because it is fixed forever with you. Father, we thank you that you can give us the understanding to be able to read the words and to know not only the natural truths that are revealed in Scripture, but also to understand those things which are spiritual. And Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom and insight tonight as we look into your word, that we would not be lulled to sleep by a fairy tale or a myth, but rather that we would be excited and enthusiastically receiving your word for what it is, that which can change us and make us truly know you. Father, we ask that you would do these things tonight, that our hearts might be knit closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 22. This is, we'll just begin reading in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We have here the description of the events that occurred. Abraham offering his son upon the altar. It is one of those passages that sometimes gets taken out of context, and people accuse Christianity of being an evil religion, or they say God is fickle because he seems to change his mind here. He has told Abraham what he wants him to do, and Abraham goes forward in obedience, and up until the last second is fulfilling exactly what God asked him to do. I want us to see how Abraham knew what he was to do. God called out to him in verse 1. God called out to him and called to him by name, Abraham. I don't think we can overemphasize this fact, that God knew Abraham by name and talked to him as a man would to his friend. Abraham knew God's voice. When God called out Abraham, Abraham didn't say, "And who are you?" We all remember the story of Paul as he was on the road to Damascus. Get the roads mixed up there, opposite directions. On the road to Damascus. And he saw the light and he heard the voice and he said, "Lord, who art thou?" He didn't understand who it was who was speaking to him, but here Abraham knew his voice. Just as God knew Abraham's name, so Abraham knew God's voice. You may say, "How do I know God's voice?" Well, we have his voice echoed to us through his word. His voice echoes to us through his word over and over and over again. And you can know your Savior's sweet voice through his word. It gets us familiar with him. It lets us know who he is and what he stands for. I want us to see Abraham's response there in verse 1. He says, "Behold, here I am." We have a common response all the way through this event, this story, where we have the different ones who are calling out or saying things, and the response is almost identical every time. Abraham says, "Behold, here I am." He was at God's disposal. He was not waiting for something else to occur, but he was ready. He said, "Behold, here I am," indicating that he was ready to obey whatever God would tell him. We know this is true because Abraham had been called out of his homeland. And as soon as God had told him to leave his father's country, he did so. He obeyed immediately. And so when he here says, "Behold, here I am," you can almost see him getting up. I'm assuming he was sitting. And he's girding his robes about him, and he's getting ready to run whichever direction God would tell him. He is already in the attitude of obedience even before he has taken one step towards obeying. We then find God gives instructions, very specific instructions. God doesn't leave him to guess what he should do. He gives him very clear instructions. When God is speaking to us, he does not do so in a hidden way. He leads us by smooth paths, that is, paths that are easy to follow. We find in God's word a well-lit, smooth, paved road that we can follow. And we can know that we are doing the correct thing because we are following God's instructions for our life. Here, Abraham gets even more specific to him instructions. He is told to take his son, and he is told to offer him there for a burnt offering. This is a shocking statement. I don't know about you, but if I was already, "Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then he wanted me to do something like this, even if I wanted to obey, I think my steps would be slower. And I don't know how eager Abraham was as soon as he heard that. But we find in verse 3 that he rose up early in the morning. He didn't let that slow him down or stop him. He still was going to obey God because that's what he had done for his whole life. I want us to see in verse 2 how God describes Isaac. Interestingly, here God says that Isaac is his only son. Now, we know that strictly speaking, this is not true. Abraham already had Ishmael. Ishmael was grown. He was a man who Abraham had definitely been the father of. Yet God only considered Isaac the son of promise. It was the son that God had given to him. And so in God's mind, Isaac is his only son. But I want us to see God recognizes not only that Isaac is the son that he had given to Abraham by promise, but also that this was a son beloved by Abraham. We read all throughout the Genesis account of Abraham's life how Ishmael over and over and over again was a burden to Abraham. He continued to walk not in the way of the Lord. He continued to go his own way. He was not a godly son. And Abraham's heart broke for his son Ishmael. But Isaac was the son that Abraham loved. He loved him. He loved him with a great and abiding love. Not only was Isaac the only son, but he was also the son of Abraham's love. God has given us many things. Maybe he hasn't given you an Isaac that is a son, an only son like that. But God has given us many things. And he has given us things that we love, things that we enjoy. And they are from him. This is not just us going about doing what we want. This is what God has given us to enjoy and to love. And here, Abraham as being commanded or asked to offer his son upon the mountain. Now, this is a very hard thing. And we'll just hint at it at the moment. But God wants us to be willing to forsake all for him. He wants us to be still loving our children, loving our parents. How does Jesus say it? If you do not hate your father and mother. It's not that Jesus wanted us to hate our family, but rather that our love for them would not outshine our love for God. This is what God wants from each of us. We need to be willing to sacrifice. Now I want to point out in verse 2, and we'll go much quicker in as soon as we get out of this background verses here, that where Abraham was going to make this sacrifice is called in the land of Moriah. And it was up upon one of the mountains there. Interestingly, the mountain of Moriah is exactly where David once stopped the ark on its trek into Jerusalem. And it was there that they built and offered sacrifices to God. And it was upon that very mountain that Christ, Jesus, died. In that region. The region of Moriah and on a mountain. So it's all fits exactly. Even if I don't know which hill it was, yet on one of those is where Christ was offered up. God's only son, the one that God loved, offered up on the mountain of Moriah. And we find that name, Moriah, coming up over and over and over again as we go through scriptures. Well, we've already seen that Abraham, he heard God's command and he said, I will obey. He didn't say it out loud, but he said it in his actions. He rose up early and he made all the preparations to fulfill God's will. We find his preparations were extensive and they're listed out there. He had the wood, he had the fire, he had a knife, he had something with which to bind the sacrifice, and he went on his way. I want us then to see not only was Abraham quick to obey, but then he endured in his obedience. In verse 4, we find that it was 3 days of travel from where he was to where he made this sacrifice. 3 days of travel. That is an abiding obedience. I'm sure as Abraham went every step of the way, he was thinking, my son Isaac, what is he? Here he is walking beside me. How much I love him. How much I care for him. I must obey God. And then the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. He went. Then, when Isaac and Abraham separate from Abraham's servants in verse 7, and they are on their way up the hill, we find Isaac speaks up. Now, I don't know if he hadn't spoken for the last 3 days. That seems a bit unusual that a young boy would go for 3 days of a hike without saying a word. But at this point, he then has an important question. He speaks unto Abraham in verse 7 and says, my father, and once again we have Abraham's response, here am I, my son. Notice that little additional, my son. Here Abraham sees his son, and in his mind he's on his way up that last little bit. He can see the place where he's going to sacrifice his son just a little bit further up. This is maybe the last time he is talking to his son. And so he says, here am I, my son. Isaac's question, behold the fire, the wood, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac knew what it entailed to make an offering to God. It was not a secret to him that this is how things were done. They would take a lamb, they would build an altar, they would make a sacrifice to God. This was the normal order of things. And so here he is, and he's curious, and he's wondering, and he says, I see all the parts except, where is the lamb? This is the question each one of us should be asking. And this is the question that all throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel should have been crying out. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for that sacrifice that will truly make a way clear between us and God? That will forever take away our sins, not just cover it for another year. They should have been asking that very question. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham then replies in faith. And this is an interesting part here because up to this moment, Abraham has had no hint from God that there was going to be a last-minute reprieve. Up to this point, Abraham is expecting to end the day by killing his son. Yet still, he speaks to his son Isaac and he says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, I do not know this because I cannot prove Abraham's intent, but I think Abraham was speaking prophetically that God would one day provide a lamb, that God would be the one who would do it. It wouldn't be that one day a man will be worthy to be a sacrifice, but that God would provide a lamb for himself because none could be found that could be that burnt offering. Abraham says in faith that God would provide the lamb. And they continued up to that place and they built that altar. Again, see the enduringness of Abraham's obedience. Again, he is still expecting his son will be dead in a few moments. And yet he continues stone upon stone to build that altar. He's walked for a couple of days, or maybe ridden the donkey. He's traveled for 3 days to get to this place. And he's endured in his obedience every step, taking him closer to this moment. And yet he continues and he builds this altar. I don't know if I could do that. Lift the stones, knowing that my son was going to die there in a moment. Arrange the wood. Tie my son to that altar. In verse 9, and I don't know how this interaction went, we're not told, but Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar. Abraham was ready to obey. I don't know if Isaac was scared or if Isaac was confused. I don't know what was going on in his mind. But he was laid upon the altar, on the wood, ready for the sacrifice. And Abraham even then went so far as to stretch out his hand and pick up the knife. Again, we are now moments from the deadly event. And at this point, an angel from the Lord calls out to him from out of heaven. And notice, again, it is not, "Hey you, stop that." It's Abraham. Abraham. God calls him by name, and there's an urgency here. He calls to him twice to make sure that his hand was stayed from doing this, killing his son. Abraham, Abraham. God didn't want there to be any mistake about who was speaking, nor did he want there to be any mistake with Abraham accidentally continuing on. God stopped him just in time. Abraham's answer was exactly the same as it had been before. "Here am I." He was standing before God, in God's presence, and he says, "Here I am." He is ready to do what God would have him to do. He has proven it by walking step by step along this path. And now he is ready. And he is perhaps thinking, "What more does God want from me?" In verse 12, we have the beautiful and relief-giving words from God, from the angel of the Lord, who says, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Now I know that thou fearest God, and that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham was willing to obey God even to the most extreme because he feared God. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? Abraham said, "My soul and its relationship with God is of the utmost importance, and I will sacrifice anything and everything in this world, even my most loved, most prized, my only son Isaac. I will sacrifice any of that for my God because I fear and love him." Abraham is praised not only for the fear that he had for God, but also the extent of his offering. It was that he had not withheld his son. All throughout the Old Testament, we find many great men. Samuel is one that comes to mind, and Eli, his mentor, both of them were great men for God, and yet they withheld their sons from God. They weren't willing to fear God, even to the extent of rebuking their sons. Here, Abraham was willing to go beyond merely stopping their sons from wickedness, but was willing to offer his son upon the altar. This is the same attitude that God had towards us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God sent him from heaven, his only begotten son, his beloved son. Over and over again in the New Testament, we find Jesus called beloved, or "This is my only son, in whom I'm well pleased." Well pleased. God loved Jesus, and yet he was willing to sacrifice him for us. Abraham here is giving us a type of God in the New Testament. This brings us then to verse 14. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. God provides. Because God is the one who then gave Abraham a substitute. Again, this is exactly like it is for us. Though our death is called for by our sins, yet God has provided a sacrifice for us, one that will take our place upon the altar. And in verse 13 it says that Abraham went, took up the ram for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And we read over it very quickly, but in the stead of, in the place of his son, he grabbed the ram and dragged it down to that altar. Isaac was still bound on the altar. And then Abraham had to loose Isaac, untie him, help him to get down. And then together they put the ram up there and performed the sacrifice. He was truly in the place of where Isaac had laid, there lay the ram. Where Isaac was moments from death, the ram actually went to death. Each one of us, moments from death, and yet Christ takes our place. So the name of the place is rightly called Jehovah Jireh. God provides. This is important. We need to see God is the one who will provide for us. You may say, I can't do what God wants me to do. It's too hard. There's these things that I love, and I don't want to give them up. They are more important to me than anything in this world. If we will fear God, He will provide for us. He will provide for us what we need. He will provide a way of salvation. He will provide a way out of any temptation. He will provide a sacrifice that is sufficient. Because God is good to us. The angel comes to Abraham a second time then, right after the sacrifice in verse 15. And we didn't read this one earlier, we'll read it now. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We have here Abraham receiving a blessing from God. A blessing that was going to last through all the ages. And for those who think Israel is done with, I just point them back to this passage and say, God's not done yet with the people of Israel. He still cares for them. He still is honoring His promise to Abraham that He will bless that nation and He will bless His seed. Abraham received that precious promise because he obeyed. And it spells it out very clearly there in verse 18, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So I ask you tonight, what is it that God has called to you to do? What is it that He has said, you need to do this for me? Because whatever it is, we need to obey. When we hear Him saying our name, we should be jumping up to obey Him. Even though it seems hard and we can't understand what it is that God will do, yet we should have faith. Even when we are walking up the mountain for that last few moments and what will God do? I don't know, but God will provide for Himself a lamb. God will do it. And speak in faith, saying God will help us. God will provide. This is our God. He is still the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who blesses us with so many blessings. And He has done so through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sacrifice, His only Son. Let us then obey His voice. As we close, I just want to ask also, what is it that we love? Abraham loved Isaac, and it was a true test of how much he feared and obeyed God, that he was willing to sacrifice even that which he loved most. He loved God and feared God more. What is it that we love? Is it some event or some object? Is it some person that we love? Ask yourself, do I love God enough to obey him in even sacrificing that? Abraham goes home rejoicing. I'm sure he was rejoicing because he heard from God, which he didn't hear from him very often, and he obeyed God, and his son was still alive. I'm sure he was practically running down that hill. And I'm sure the people who met him, his servants, they wondered, why is he so happy? coming down from a sacrifice, you might be somber. You might be a little bit, you know, maybe a smile on your face, but here Abraham would have been rejoicing. God provides for us if we will obey him. And so I ask you, obey him today. Don't delay. Say, here I am. And in doing so, mean, here I am, I'm at your disposal, God. Whatever you want for me to be doing, I'm on the road tomorrow, early in the morning. 3 days' journey? Sure. I'm ready to obey. That's what God would have for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the illustration of Abraham's life and how we can look to his faith and his reliance upon you. And Lord, we thank you that you are still the God who provides. You are still the one who meets our needs and gives us that which is best. Lord, we ask that you would help us all to have the courage to not only listen for your voice, but to be ready to obey as soon as we hear your call. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.